This is the Truth Hurts program.
Classified material next to your Corvette. What were you thinking?
Hey, my Corvette's in a locked garage. Okay, so it's not like you're sitting out in the street. But as I said earlier this week, people know I take classified documents and classified material seriously.
Good morning, everyone. The 24th day of January, 2023. It is Tuesday, and this is the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. I hope you're having a wonderful Tuesday. I sure the hell am. And I take classified documents seriously. So does Joe Biden, remember?
I take classified documents and classified material seriously.
And because I say that I take them seriously, I want you to ignore everything you have seen, everything you have heard about the classified documents found next to my Corvette in an unlocked garage. No, they weren't sitting out on the street, but they might as well have been. Each and every time Biden opens his garage door, I know I open my garage door a minimum of 2 to 3 times per day. Now, it's not like gropey Joe Biden's taking the trash down to the street. We know that doesn't happen. But that garage door opens and closes every time Joe Biden wants to take a little spin in his Corvette. It's not like he's opening the garage door, driving the Corvette out, closing the garage door, and then coming back home 2 minutes later because he's only allowed to drive it on his own private property, and then opens the door again, pushes the car in the garage, and then hurries up and closes the door. Like many people's garage doors, they stay open for many hours at a time. This guy's no different than any other American, other than the fact that he lied, cheated, and stole his way into the White House, and that he's never worked an honest day in his life. He's been on the government dole for 50 of his 80 years that we know of. We know that Joe Biden takes these classified documents seriously when these classified documents were found at Mar-a-Lago by Donald Trump. But to say he takes them seriously now that he's the president, knowing that he illegally took those documents while he was a senator and while he was the vice president and has them scattered God knows where. They found them in the Penn Biden Center at University of Pennsylvania. They found them at Biden's house. They found them in Biden's garage. They found them in Biden's library. It almost sounds like a Dr. Seuss book.
There's no there. I don't care. I have classified documents just about everywhere. Some at my home, in my library. Those documents are everywhere. Their locations may vary. There's no there. It's not a mirage. They're hanging out with Hunter near my Corvette in the garage. There's no there. Classified documents? Where? Some in my office at the U of Penn. Some more will be found, but you won't know when. There's no there. My lawyers still roam and find more documents every day in my home. There's no there. Papers easy to reach. There might even be more at my home in Rehoboth Beach. There's no there. Never an FBI raid, and no real investigation will ever be made. There's no there, Biden said oh so furiously. I take classified documents very, very seriously. There's one thing that I can say most certainly for sure. Those classified documents were quite secure. Here's one thing on which you can bet. They've been safe by my son Hunter under my Corvette. I have no regrets about document order, like I really don't care about our southern border. There's no there, not even in my house, where I hide classified documents from Jill, my spouse.
These poems, they just come rolling right off when you think about the joke Joe Biden, the Grinch who stole America's great economy from Donald Trump, the Grinch who stole the election from Donald Trump, the Grinch who doesn't know whether he's a president or a senator or the vice president. Hell, he thinks Camel Toe Harris is the president, and he's said so multiple times, not just one slip of the tongue. This guy is loose change in your pocket. He is a lost golf ball in high weeds. And yet, for some reason, for 2 years and, 3 days now? The left, the media, have rushed to his aid, to do everything they can to make excuse and justify his ineptness. But that is beginning to change, my friends. The mainstream leftist slimeball media must have gotten their marching orders from Soros or Obama or whoever it is pulling the strings at the top of this marionette show known as the Biden administration. Because now, even the mainstream leftist liberal slimeball media is beginning to turn on your commander-in-chief. From the Fox News folks, which we know they're going to attempt to bash Biden, Liz Peek writes, Biden's document scandal is now DC's hottest guessing game. Who's sabotaging the president? This article begins, the most intriguing question of the day is this. Who wanted to sabotage Joe Biden's run for a second term? Could it be the Russians? Could it be Putin? After all, you know, Putin's price hikes, which are really Biden's price hikes. Could it be Volodymyr Zelensky? No, Biden's giving him hundreds of billions of your tax dollars. Could it be Donald Trump? Do you think Donald Trump snuck in the middle of the night to five locations and planted classified documents just to make Joe look stupid? No, Joe looks stupid by being Joe. More specifically, what people are asking is, who leaked the story of these classified documents to CBS News to begin with? Remember, it was CBS News, not the White House, that announced on January 9th that Attorney General Merrick Garland had delegated a U.S. attorney in Chicago to review secret documents found at the president's old office at the Penn Biden Center in Washington. It was that very same CBS News, the progressive liberal woke media outlet, an arm of the Democratic Party, who reported the discovery of the classified papers that occurred on November 2nd of last year, simply days before the midterm elections. It cited but would not identify the two sources who revealed the probe. Details provided by those sources were sketchy. They couldn't identify the topics of the documents found or their level of classification, but what those two individuals did reveal is that the materials were kept in a closet, a convenient detail helpful to protecting the president and allowing him to claim falsely that the papers were safe from prying eyes. But who had access to the closet? Whoever behind the leak wanted to hurt President Biden and his chances at a re-election bid. They didn't want to destroy his presidency. They were angry about something. The questions remain. Did the leak come from people in the Justice Department that were disgusted that Biden was getting kid glove treatment while Donald Trump's residence had been turned upside down by a midnight FBI raid? Could it have been FBI whistleblowers fed up with their agency's slow walking of an investigation of materials found on Hunter Biden's laptop? That probe could entail national security risks and could well lead directly to Joe Biden's White House. But that probe seems to have stalled. Maybe that's why it was done. Let's take the focus off of Hunter Biden's laptop and all of the damning information on that laptop and just make this little document scandal with the president the headliner. Remember, I've talked to you about bait and switch. I've talked to you about the magician's assistant. You know, the lovely lady in scantily clad clothing with the glitter and all of the sequins over here doing something while the magician is working his tricks secretly on the other side of the stage. There's an alternative theory that it might have been someone inside the White House who wants Joe Biden out of the 2024 race. My guess, Camel Toe Harris. My second guess, Michelle Obama, the man that is the husband, wife of Barack Hussein Barry Sotero Obama. Joe Biden, after all, was on the cusp of formally announcing that he was going to officially begin his run for a second term as president. An unexpected bump in his polling numbers as a result of the midterm elections, the president was feeling quite chipper. He was ready and willing to go up to stand up to MAGA Republicans, as he calls them, and put it all out there for a second term. Now, other people in the Democrat Party were not so optimistic. They knew that the Republicans showing in the midterms was mainly due to the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade, which energized some pro-choice, pro-death voters, and because Trump had backed some poor candidates. Numerous Democrats in the run-up to the November midterm elections chose willingly, deliberately, intentionally to not campaign with gropey Joe Biden. Some found it inconvenient to be out of town when he showed up to their states. Why? They know Joe Biden is not a vote getter. Then the clouds parted for Biden. He took credit for the relative successes of the midterms, which he had nothing to do with. The Democrats kept the Senate and they lost the House, thanks mainly to a slowdown in China and Biden's reckless depletion of our strategic petroleum reserve. Oil and gas prices dropped a little bit, producing a downward turn to his inflation. The much-anticipated recession, likely to flow from the Federal Reserve's hiking of interest rates, had not fully materialized. That is, the media refused to report that for two consecutive quarters in the year 2022, our nation was deep into Joe Biden's recession, in the midst of Joe Biden's inflation. Biden had a couple of weeks enjoying a window of relatively favorable news, and he was ready to grab that news and run with it. His polling numbers went from disastrous to dismalness. The stock market helped out, gaining in the last few weeks of the year. And for Democrats, the better news stream was considered a mixed blessing. The polling was quite clear, however. 70% of Americans, including 57% of Democrats, clearly stated they do not want gropey Joe Biden to run for a second term. And in all fairness, those same polled individuals don't want Donald Trump to run again either. They're looking to be ready to move on, to find a new generation of younger leaders. But Joe Biden, scrappy Joe from Scranton, he doesn't want to move on. He is visibly and openly annoyed. He's pissed that all of the documents Fuhrer is dulling his midterm afterglow. He's telling reporters he has no regrets about his secret papers mess and that there's no there. But all of his own allies, people like Dick Durbin and even nasty, naughty Nazi Nancy Pelosi, are telling Biden, please don't run again. Biden's document scandal has prompted yet another downturn in Biden's polling numbers. The mishandling of the situation has made his administration look openly inept, something I've been pointing out now here on the Truth Hurts program for two full years. And the outlook for our economy under Joe Biden? You know, manufacturing on the decline, housing and retail spending sliding south. It's hard to see Mr. Biden's fortunes improving anytime soon. Democrats are lining up now to run for president in 2024. Camel Toe Harris, Gay Mayor Pete, Gavin Newsom, J.B. Pritzker, and possibly Michelle Mybelle Obama, and even a potential resurgence of the woman scorned, Hillary Rotten Clinton. They're all out there thinking, there's Biden blood in the water. Maybe I can get this. For all those potential presidential wannabes, the documents uproar could not have happened at a better time. The leak came from within, my friends. We may never find out who leaked that information, but it is fortuitous for the Republicans, for the conservatives. If Biden had declared he was running, they would have been stymied, fearing the challenging of a president in a primary would alienate black voters loyal to Biden, without whom no Democrat has any chance. If Biden, however, announces now that he will not run, those hopefuls and many others might have an open field. So who leaked the secret? Who cares? We don't know. Democrats everywhere should be cheering, at least those hopeful to replace Joe Biden. This is the Truth Hurts program. Speaking of Democrats, why have the Democrats not criticized the insurrectionists in Atlanta, Georgia? Remember, Democrats spent the last 2 years lamenting the political violence in the wake of the January 6th so-called riot at the U.S. Capitol. Democrats claim such violence threatens our democracy. Democrats label those perpetrators as extremists, insurrectionists, and they consider anyone who caused any damage dangerous. That is, as long as the bad actors were people on the right. When leftists, progressives, liberals, woke activists, and agitators cause mayhem, Democrats typically deploy a different tactic, complete and utter silence. The left-wing group known as Antifa unleashed a wave of destruction and violence in Atlanta in response to a new police training facility being built in the area. one of the protesters, Manuel Esteban Paez Terán, shot a police officer in the pelvis last week after the city's police department mobilized to remove destroying protesters from the area. After the policeman was shot, police returned fire and killed Mr. Terán. This led to Antifa's, quote, call to arms, unquote. This left-wing radical agitation group feels they should be able to just go out and shoot police officers with no accountability. And the cops are not supposed to shoot back. They're not supposed to defend themselves. Now, where were the prominent Democrat voices who vehemently condemned political violence over the last 2 years? The Democrats' silence on this insurrectionist action has been deafening. Why hasn't gropey Joe Biden condemned Antifa's actions? Why hasn't Hakeem Jeffries condemned these actions? Or Senator Raphael Warnock, the Democrat from that very state of Georgia? The answer is, Democrats do not give a damn about political violence. They are only outraged at violence when it comes from right-wing MAGA hat-wearing Trump supporters. Only when violence occurs at the hands of a right-wing activist can they step in and decry it. Democrats are only outraged at violence when Republican-leaning people commit violence. They can then use it to manipulate public opinion and extort that action for their own political advantage. The Democrats' impotence regarding left-wing violence, protests at left-wing events, is nothing new. Whether it was Representative Maxine Waters urging violent confrontation, or Representative Cori Bush justifying acts of terror because of police shootings, or whether it was the entire Democratic Party's enabling of the 2020 Black Lives Matter riots after George Floyd died of a drug overdose, they tried to blame it on cops. But rarely, very, very rarely, do Democrats' actions ever speak louder than their words. And where most Republicans openly condemn the January 6th action at the Capitol, the country is still waiting to hear a similar decrying and denunciation regarding the devastation from those 2020 riots, from the utter destruction of cities like Portland, Seattle, Louisville, St. Louis, Detroit, Chicago. All political violence is wrong, and anyone who commits it, regardless of political affiliation, should face accountability, should face punishment, should face prosecution. Democrats, however, only want justice when the perpetrators do not align with Democrat agenda, Democrat beliefs, woke, progressive, liberal, socialist-leaning ideology. They're frauds, the Democrats are. They're phonies. They're fakers. And their failure to provide any meaningful scolding regarding this recent violence in Atlanta, Georgia, is just another glaring example of their hypocrisy, of their double standard. No one should expect Democrats to condemn Antifa because the Antifa's horrific acts align directly with a Democrat agenda. Democrats don't care if the rules are broken as long as their political party reaps the benefits politically, socially. Sooner rather than later, the country must start denouncing the Democrats themselves for these outright double standards. The public must embrace common sense instead of leftist extremism, which is dominating our country's culture. Democrats are the party of radical destruction. Democrats are the party of fanaticism. Democrats are the party of political violence when it suits them. They are the biggest threat to our constitutional republic. But what will be done? Likely nothing at all. This is the Truth Hurts program. Camel Toe Harris made news this week. Not because she did anything positive, but because she did something negative. And I, along with many Americans, are calling her out for omitting the words right to life when citing the Declaration of Independence. Twitter users are pissed, and rightfully so, because Camel Toe Harris, the supposed vice president of the United States of America, deliberately, willfully, and intentionally omitted the words right to life while reciting a quote from the Declaration of Independence. She did this in a speech marking the 50th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, which allowed baby murder to occur legally in the United States. Camel Toe Harris said on Sunday, quote, We collectively believe and know America is a promise. It is a promise of freedom and liberty, not just some, but for all. We are endowed each with the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Here's what the actual quote is supposed to be, Ms. Harris. The document's original text reads, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." You see, Camel Toe Harris and Joe Biden hate that phrase, but it's been repeated throughout history. And when you repeat something often enough, it gets ingrained into a person's brain. It's a memory, a fond memory, it used to be, when we were young and we learned these immortal words. Joe Biden screwed them up when he said, "We always truth be self-evident that all men create, you know the thing." Joe Biden didn't know the thing. And apparently, Camel Toe Harris herself also does not know, the thing. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." What Camel Toe Harris thinks is that life is irrelevant. She can kill at will. Liberty? They've redefined that word to mean give everything to a certain 13% hyphenated American minority because of some past oppression. And that these same individuals in the 13% hyphenated American minority are somehow entitled to happiness. Not the pursuit of happiness, but happiness. That's why Camel Toe Harris from the lousy state of California is all pro-reparations for Black African Americans. Colorado Representative Republican Lauren Boebert tweeted, "Hey, VP, it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have the right to life." When you have to omit entirely one of the most integral parts of the Declaration of Independence in an attempt to further your argument, said argument is immediately and objectively powerless. This point is obvious. But when the right to life blows up your message so bad that you have to pretend it doesn't exist, maybe your message, Camel Toe Harris, is not very good. Washington Examiner reporter Jerry Dunleavy shared images of Harris's speech transcript with the portion under scrutiny highlighted. He writes, "Here is Vice President Kamala Harris omitting the inalienable right to life when referencing the Declaration of Independence in defense of Roe v. Wade." Kamala Harris clearly does not believe in the right to life. Others noted, omitted the word creator because, she doesn't believe in a God other than she thinks she is God. Others noted that Harris omitted the word creator from the endowment portion of the quote. The Daily Beast senior columnist Matt Lewis wrote, quote, "Kamala Harris says that, according to the Declaration of Independence, we are each endowed with the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. She leaves out key words, by our Creator, and the right to life." My friends, this disgusting omission proves that Kamala Harris is not qualified to represent the people of the United States of America. I want to buzz through some of the headlines really quickly. Washington Examiner says Biden document saga largely the same as Trump's with one key difference. But as Speaker Kevin McCarthy says, a crime is a crime. And if Trump is guilty, therefore Biden is also guilty. And that would be true. What if I told you all of this fuss over classified documents won't ultimately matter comes out of the USA Today. This next headline, Joe Biden's classified documents drama keeps getting worse. That's right, folks. More documents were found in yet another place over the weekend. I'm still calling for a raid by the FBI on Biden's properties. Nobody's listening. Here's one. Bust migrants arrested in a Macy's heist. Four of the illegal immigrants that were bussed to Nassau County, New York on January 9th robbed a Macy's store, and they all turned out to be illegal immigrants. Next headline, Democrats are now critical of Biden's document dilemma. The next one from the New York Post, DOJ weighs expanding the Biden document search. They're weighing it? Send in the feds, send in the FBI. What is wrong with you people? The next article, The Hill's 1230 report, DOJ continues finding Biden classified documents. Here's one from NBC News. Fourth discovery of classified items revealed at Biden's home. Well, that's a little behind because I think it's 5 or 6 now that we're up to. CNN reported FBI search deepens political implications of Biden document discoveries. Oh, they're out to get him. Someone has flipped the switch, my friends. Someone has flipped the switch and they want Biden out. I guess they want Camel Toe Harris to destroy the nation over the next 2 years in the hopes that they can maybe turn things around. The Washington Post, 5 questions about the documents recovered from Biden. This one, voters, go ahead and shut down the government. The Washington Examiner says, let's have a government shutdown. Let's clean house. Here's an article. It's Biden's next classified documents defense. Maybe Corn Pop did it. There it is, folks. I mentioned this yesterday on the Truth Hurts program. Corn Pop did it. He was a bad dude. And now Fox News' Greg Jarrett has reported the same thought process. Tell me they're not listening to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Deseret News, another batch of classified documents found in Biden's home. New York Post, Biden classified documents scandal fits a pattern of an influence operation. An article written by Representative James Comer. The next headline, former Trump DOJ aide says the Biden team should be nervous about the classified documents probe because federal prosecutors are like hunting dogs who like to come back with something in their mouth. The next, that's true. The next one, Pelosi annoyed with MSNBC for coverage of the Biden document story. She says she's not a big fan of MSNBC since they started covering Biden's document scandal. Wow. She was sure a big fan of them when they were bashing Donald Trump, though, wasn't she, my Truth Hurts program listeners? From the 1945 media outlet, is the media giving Joe Biden a pass? More classified documents found at Joe Biden's home, and even Saturday Night Live is ignoring it. They went after the Donald Trump scandal with their gnarly teeth, remember? And aside from Biden, Senator Schumer, Representative Schiff, and other liberals blamed the Monterey, California shooting on bigotry and racism before the facts came out. And now, in 2 mass killings over the weekend, there were 2 mass killings at Asian celebrations for the Lunar New Year. And these people like Schumer, Schiff, and other liberals jumped out there and called these things hate crimes. Despite police not releasing the suspect's race or identity, liberals jumped onto Twitter trying to blame this horrific action, this pair of horrific actions actually, on white supremacy and anti-Asian hate. Chuck Schumer said, "We must stand up to bigotry and hate wherever they rear their ugly heads, and we must keep working to stop gun violence." Shifty Adam Schiff of California said, "Saturday's shooting was a horrific example of needless gun violence with bigotry towards Asian American Pacific Islander individuals as a motive." Guess what? There was a whole bunch of liberal Democrats out there crying about so-called racism and white supremacy and MAGA Trump hat-wearing rednecks out there shooting Asians for target practice. But it turns out, my friends, both of those mass killings of Asian people were Asian men, not whites, not blacks, not Mexicans, Asians. Do you hear any of those Democrat Party individuals apologizing to the white community? Nah, they don't care if whitey's offended, because according to their ideology, white men can't be offended. White men can only offend people. They can't be offended. Back to a quick wrap-up of the headlines. Washington Examiner says Kamala Harris awkwardly admits she is anti-life. We talked about that already. There's one in the Washington Examiner. How did the Biden and DOJ hide this document debacle for 68 days? But you get the message. The American people are finally waking up and realizing that the Democrats are and have been and will continue to destroy our country. But I've run out of time for this edition of the Truth Hurts program for Tuesday, the 24th day of January, 2023. Go out there and make it a great day. And I hate to say it, check out John Larroquette tonight on Night Court's reboot on NBC. Might be funny. See you on the next program.
Copyright 2023, The Truth Hurts Program Network. All rights reserved.
Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I apologize if you were offended, but I retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. This program was pre-recorded.